The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Moye. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moye, your host. And tonight, we are together again with a great show. You know, last week when we were talking, we had our guests on, Angela Wright, a career agent, and Dr. Teresa Fletcher. And the highlight of our show is that we felt that character was going to be a major issue in the NFL draft. So there were a lot of surprises for people because I think we were ahead of the game there when we made that statement. And then, of course, on Friday morning, Sunday morning, all the headlines said character impacted the draft. Reason being is that a lot of things happened that people didn't think was going to happen. Number one is that it was a major, major flood of SEC players who went in the draft. It was the best draft for Florida since 1978. They led the pack with 9 Gators, and with 3 of them going in the first round, and the SEC had a total of 49 players who went in the actual draft. Behind that was the Big Ten, had 34 players, the ACC had 31, and the Big 12 had 9 in the first round and had the top 4 picks, and they had 30 that went in the draft, 29 for the Pac-10, 18 for the Big East, and 13 for the Mountain. So as you can see here, is that it was major changes. It's almost like, in fact, that the Pac-10 is losing now to the Big 12. And obviously there's some real issues there that people are looking at. And I think one of the big issues is that a lot of people expect that USC is probably going to get some sanctions as the NCAA begin to make their decision regarding the controversy surrounding Reggie Bush. And so as a result of that, they were looking at the USC players probably in that light, wondering now if that's going to take away from some of the activities that they will have being in the NFL. So teams had to look at and scrutinize a lot of different things. They were concerned about, number one, under Roger Goodell's new rules, whether or not they will come under his wrath if they bring players they have problems. And one of the players at University of Florida that went in the 6th round was Hernandez. And he was the last one to go. But he was at one time slated to be a first, even a second-round pick. But it was rumored that he actually had some drug issues. So, again, even though the rest of the Florida Gators went pretty much in the, you know, in the earlier rounds, they did, in fact, make an example of him. And he was picked by the Patriots, who actually took 4 Gators, almost one in a, each in a row, and took him in the 6th round, which literally completed their core of Gators, of 5 Gators. But it's still, that character issue hurt him a lot. But, you know, as we turn away from the draft, we start looking at sort of giving grades here. I think one of the things that's very important is to reflect back on, you know, where is the organization going? Is it really trying to actually bring a little sensitivity to the NFL? One of the biggest issues is that truly the reason why the NFL went in prime time is because they did not want to lose the passionate fans of the NFL. And so by going prime time, they felt that they could, in fact, reach out to more actual fans and also reach out to new fans. And I want to report to you, they had a 20% increase of people who watched the draft. In fact, there were people watching the draft totally on the Internet. That was available. Some people listened to it totally on the radio. That was available. Some people listened to it on the TV. That was available. You could Twitter it. You can do the Facebook. You can make smiley boxes of videos of pictures. And the most hilarious thing is that they had Roger Goodell standing in line and people wanted his autograph. So, again, that hands-on feeling that Roger Goodell gave to the draft, I think this will go down in history as being one of the best drafts. But what that means then is that maybe it helped in their struggle to overcome the bad press that Roethlisberger has brought, you know, to the actual league. And hopefully now that he has accepted his suspension and will not appeal it, maybe he'll get out of the news now and he can go on and try to basically make sense of his life. I think that's very important. But I want to give some grades to a couple of teams because, you know, we always grade them in terms of how they drafted. But there was a few things that came out that was a little bit kind of puzzling to me. And particularly Parcells and the Dolphins, a lot of people were complaining about a couple of comments that they made during the draft. Particularly, one person was asked whether or not did he wear a G-string or a jockstrap? Completely out of character. In addition to that, someone was asked, did he desert his team because he became a Rhodes Scholar? In addition to that, someone asked someone if their mother was a prostitute. Now, how far will you go to break somebody down to prove that they can be a great player or not? In my impression, that was not necessary. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring my guest in because my guest has a lot of experience of dealing with the growth and development of athletes, and he's seen it from all kind of different levels. But what I want to do is talk to him a little bit about how do we shape Generation X in sports as we go forward. We know character is very, very important. We know that they're going to be looking at your background very succinctly. And we know that, in fact, that talent is not always going to rule. So I'm going to get Coach Paul Knight, President of National Football Foundation College Hall of Fame, Central Florida Chapter, to join us and chime in on this dialogue. Welcome to the show, Coach Knight.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, when we look at high school players, we know that only maybe about a fourth of them will make it to the college play. So
yes.
A lot of them are not going to make it. We know that. Because of the million that may play in high school, you may only see a fourth that may even end up in a school or even go on to even get on the roster, and even smaller numbers actually get drafted because there's only 32 teams. But obviously in high school, there's a lot of great lessons of character and discipline and leadership that can actually be instilled into these young men so that they later on can either take it on the field or take it off the field. Tell me what you're doing right now with your organization to reach those kids.
Well, what we try to do is we're trying to reach out to these young men out there that sometimes they may not have that role model or that father figure in their lives, and sometimes might be pushed to the wayside and they're lost. So what we're trying to do, we're trying to reach out to them and mentor them and let them know that character comes first. Because in my past of coaching from youth football to high school, even indoor arena, we understand that it starts from the stem of the home because there are a lot of young men out there, they are lost, they don't have that right sense of direction. And then even when you play starting from a youth football league going on to a high school, even when you can stem how well and instructed these coaches are teaching these players out there on the field and how respectful and disciplined they are. And then you can see after and before the game of the respect of thank you, welcome, nice game, handshake, showing a good sportsmanship. And that's so important in today's sports because if you don't show sportsmanship from the very beginning, it'll be lost as time goes on. And once these young men enter high school, we have to let them know that whatever you have learned in the past from that well-structured youth organization, it doesn't stop there. We trying to enhance and impact the same type of character and discipline within that young man. And we got to let them know that if you might be that blue chipper, that star quarterback, that star lineman, star receiver, is there's not just that position. You have to develop that skill to understand and be that type of player to be coachable. Because we have a lot of players out there that might be star athletes, but they're not coachable because they think they know it all. Their character is just torn apart, and all of a sudden they're just thinking about themselves. And we teach character, and we teach them it's no I in team. So we have to let them know from the very beginning. You have to play the game. You have to be a part of the program. You have to listen. You have to be very understanding of what we're trying to do, because once we finish with you in high school, we're preparing for you to go into the college level. You might be that star running back, quarterback, lineman, defensive back, whatever position may be, but once you go into college, you have a ton of other athletes that might be just as good or might be even better. And then when them college coaches, they're not going to take any kind of messy slack and you're showing sportsmanship and you don't have that character, because once they see that, you'll be going home or you might be pushed to the sidelines. So what we're trying to do is, we're trying to educate them well on how to carry themselves, how to conduct themselves. If you make a bad play, get back in there, pick your head up, don't worry about it, it's over, go out there and redeem yourself. I don't want to see you, any of these players, throw their helmets on the ground, start cursing, carrying, and yelling, and there are some coaches that do that. I hate to say that. Some coaches might teach their players to carry on like that. But no, you can always tell a well-disciplined organization is the way how those players conduct themselves on the football field, and this way how well it reflects from them coaches as well, because we are coaches and we have set an example to show these young men how to carry themselves on the field.
Well, Coach, you know, you've been in this business for a long, long time. I mean, dating back even to 1995. Tell me, how different has the game changed, and how different has the passion for the game changed?
Well, way back when, starting from the youth football, and the passion is always going to be there, but sometimes the passion can be get lost. I mean, even when you're looking at a player back in 95, sometimes they may not have the pretty uniform or all the helmets and the sneakers or the cleats, whatever. Sometimes you might find some organizations may have to share these equipment. But at the same time, you have these coaches that say, well, equipment don't make a player. The player made the equipment. You put that equipment on, you go and show and do the best you can. And today, opportunity, it has changed slightly. They have a lot of reach to them. They have a lot of opportunity out there for these young athletes. Back in 95, you may not have that type of opportunity to go to a combine or go to a camp or have these individual structures, have a quarterback clinic, linebacker clinic, individual speed drills and things like that back in 95. It's much what they have now. Now you see everybody's having a combine, they're having a clinic, they have a coach, they have more coaches clinic, they have more 7-on-7 tournaments just to see how the speed and what they have. So it has changed slightly from 95 to now tremendously.
Okay. Well, we're going to come back in about three, Coach. We're going to continue this dialogue, and hopefully we can talk a little bit about how your experience working in Florida, New York, Virginia, and Georgia has differed. And we'll be back in three. This is Ida Moya, your host, and we're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of Sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Mavericks Show. It's Ida Moyer, and you're listening to our special tonight, which is Reshaping Generation X in Sports. And we're talking to high school coach Paul Knight, president of the National Football Foundation College Hall of Fame Central Florida Chapter. And at the break here, we were talking a lot about the opportunities that have emerged in recent years for high school players that were not available before. And at this time, I'd like to invite Coach Knight back to the show. Welcome back to the show, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Well, Coach, you know, in the summer of 2009, you coached in five different states, Florida, New York, Virginia, and Georgia. And for the U.S. Football Players Academy, that was designed for youth players aged 9 to 14, and it encompassed 3 days of instruction covering the fundamentals of offenses, defense, and special teams. Now, these camps are controlled and limited, obviously, in terms of a game-like situation. Tell me exactly, since this is a high school clinic going on, how does the parents figure into this? Are the parents involved at all?
These parents are so enthusiastic about this whole concept that they just can't wait for this year, because once we have the parents meeting and we inform them exactly what their young players will entail in this camp, they was excited because they realized that it's just more than just putting on a football equipment, getting out on the field, because this camp for USA Football Players Academy, it goes down to the basic. There, anyone could maybe catch a ball, but we want to teach them how to catch a ball. Anybody may not could get into a three-point stance, but we're trying to teach them to get into a proper three-point stance. Now, how to hold a football, run the football, know how to block, how to take that first step to reach out as a lineman against that defensive player, as the receiver trying to rip and swim of the defensive back. The linebacks know how to read the running back. So basically, it's basing down to positions. So in the beginning of the segment, you have the quarterbacks in one area, you have the running backs in one area, so on and so forth. And then the head coach blows the whistle, then you might have the quarterbacks against the receivers, and then you might have quarterbacks thrown to the receivers, then you have the receivers maybe going against the DBs and the linebackers against the running backs, and then the linemen versus the defensive linemen. So it's well instructed. We go in segments. Everything is timed. And those parents stay there from the time we get there, 7:30 in the morning, until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And every single day we teach them and we progress. So every day we teach them a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And then we come back at the last day, and that's the fourth day, and we come down and play teams. Every single player has the opportunity to be on that field and illustrate what they have learned for those past 3 days. And those coaches are right there with them. So what they say, they reiterate and said, okay, you remember what we did the first day? Okay, it boils down now. Remember what we did the second day. So traveling for all these different states, you see different levels of athletes. You see the different speed in them. You see the talent. And there's a lot of talent across the United States. It's unbelievable, from the states that I had encountered, from New York to Virginia to Georgia and Florida. It's unbelievable the talent what they have in these camps.
Now, you know, we're talking about 9 to 14-year-olders, so these are middle school kids mostly that you're dealing with. They're just coming, I mean, not even in high school. And so when you recognize a talent like that, how do you steer them towards, you know, maximizing that talent? Is there any kind of, like, exit interview to share with, you know, say their school coach or their parents of, you know, how well they've done? I mean, how are you able to communicate that, those skill levels?
Well, at the end of each day, I know we mainly like to talk to the parents, and we let the parents know where their son is at right now. Right now, he might need a little bit more work on his footwork, his hands, how to backpedal, know how to read. But we let them know that the next day we're going to teach them that. So right now, each day they progress. So we give them like a verbal report to the parents, because the parents are very concerned, and we're willing, and we let them know. I mean, we sit down and explain to the parents of the do's and the don'ts and what to expect from him. And we let them know a little bit work here, a little bit work there. It seemed like he got a pretty decent stand for a beginner player at a young age, so we can see where he could go from there. Some kids might be a little slow to pick up, some might be fast to pick up. So at the end of the day, we want everybody to be on the same level. And most of the time, they may have some high school coaches out there, and we explain to the high school coaches that this is what we see in him. If he never played before and he's about to come and be on your freshman team or your JV team, this kid is a good athlete. He got good vision, of course. He got good character. He shows the ability. He's hungry. He's eager to learn. He wants to learn, and he's trying so hard. So we always have a verbal communication with the parents at the beginning to let them know that this is what's going to happen for the day, as well as the coaches. And at the end of that day, we still have a verbal communication to let them know how well their son have done, as well as the coaches, and there's room for improvement, and this is what we work on for the next day.
Now, I know that during the NFL, you know, the actual Super Bowl, the U.S. football team got a chance to play a little competition, did they not?
Oh, yes, they did. The USA football played the world, and you've seen so many great talent all over the country that came into one roof. And then you had some great talent that's overseas. I mean, from China, you talk about Canada, England, Japan. It's unbelievable that football is so big, it's worldwide. And when we went there and I saw this game, it's unbelievable how these other countries is so groomed and so well and so tuned into the football, I mean, to the game of football. And they played very well. I mean, they played very well. I mean, they played in Canton, Ohio for the inaugural of the USA football versus the world. And then they played at the Super Bowl weekend, the high school plays versus Canada and other countries. And overall, the talent that you see on the field, you wouldn't know they're from another country, because they was well taught. The coaches taught them very well. They're well instructed and well tuned of the game of football. And that was a real classic game that I wish everybody had an opportunity to see if they didn't.
Well, understandably, it was a pretty exciting game. In fact, we had our Asian, Ed Wang, winning the fifth round of the draft this year as well. So yes. Clearly football is catching on among Asians. We've seen, of course, Hernandez was Hispanic, so we know that we're seeing a very big group of Hispanics who are now playing the game. And then we have our Samoans that are, the Pacific group of people that have been going in the draft. So I'm sure in Japan, and we do have our Russians already, so looks like to me football is becoming in a very global sport very shortly here, which is pretty understandable. Now, going back to the areas, particularly, Florida, you get to play year-round. But you don't get to play year-round in New York or in Virginia. So how do you compete with kids from Florida and Georgia and South Carolina and California when you've been up in New York? How do they keep that game going in New York?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, everybody, when you talk about Florida, everybody want to recruit Florida athletes. I mean, Florida, of course, you play the football all year round, all season round. In New York, you play that in the summer. When it comes to the fall, when it gets down into the November, December, okay, that's the cold weather. Just like in the NFL and the college, like Buffalo in the wintertime, it's cold. I mean, Green Bay is cold. So when you look at that in the young level of New York, it has its talent and speed, but they don't have the opportunity to play all year round like Florida. California, they can train all year round. Georgia, it depends on part of the year of Georgia, you can train. But then, Georgia now is getting really cold, just like New York. Virginia is the same thing. So Florida athletes pretty much, as well as California, pretty much have an advantage of their talent and training, because you can train all year round. Okay, we might get a little cold, maybe 30, 40 degrees, 50 degrees. I mean, that's a little chilly. But when you're looking at about the fall season up in New York and Virginia, you talk about the 20s and the 10s and the teens, and it's snowing and raining hard. It's very hard for these players to really train outdoors all year round. They might have to find a gym inside, not unless they're blessed with a facility that you can train inside. But that's why Florida, Texas, California, I have a recruiting of athletes, because it's just the warm weather and they have the opportunity to train all year round.
Now, I know in golf there are indoor facilities that have been built to really accommodate the golfing industry in the college, particularly in college areas where it's very, very cold, like Michigan State actually has that type of facility. And hopefully that as football becomes more prominent, particularly, that might be something that Roger Goodell, through his youth program, may want to look at. Anyway, folks, we're going to go to our break. Got to pay our bills here. We'll be back in three. And our wonderful guest tonight is Coach Paul Knight, and he's the president of the National Football Foundation College Hall of Fame Central Florida Chapter. We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moye, your host. Talking only.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
the shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. Pacific Time for IS Outdoors on the Voice America Sports Channel. With their combined experience of 60 years in the woods, Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they are also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. IS Outdoors offers brisk interaction with the audience, soliciting opinions and questions on a wide range of outdoors subjects. Tune in every Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time to the IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, and my guest tonight is Coach Paul Knight, president of the National Football Foundation College Hall of Fame Central Florida Chapter. And, of course, Coach Knight, you're no stranger to the social worker aspect of sports because in your MESA program you established there in New York back in 1995 to 2001, you offered educational guidance and sports training to low-income, urban, and disadvantaged youth between the age of 7 to 16. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, the way how it all started, when I had started coaching football in 85, I was coaching in a youth program, and I see that we were just winning. We had the great talent, but when we had the opportunity to look at the report cards, they were all failing or just about failing. And I was saying to my wife, because my wife and I had started that program, so I said to my wife, I said, let's bring this to the president and see what we could just, what we can implement more than just wearing the championship jackets or division jackets, because once they leave our program, they go on to high school, and that will be a reflection of the youth program, because once they go to high school, they're going to look back and say, what kind of program these young kids are coming from? So I approached that organization, and they didn't want to hear it, to make a long story short. So we said, you know what? We decided to start our own program, and it was a youth minority education sports advancement in New York, Brooklyn. And we emphasized on tutorial education comes first. And once we implemented that program, we went into a community that a lot of organizations or individuals may be afraid to go in, but we didn't. And we went into the low-income area, and we turned the things, or we turned it around. We had a big meeting in the auditorium, and I believe we had about over 200 to 300 parents in that auditorium because they was overwhelmed, and they was happy that something like that came into that community. Because when you bring something into the project area, that's a lot of kids because they're dealing with Brooklyn projects. So we sat down, we implemented, and let them know what we was planning to do, and tutorial service, PSATs, SATs, teaching the young men how to be young men, teaching the young ladies how to be young ladies, and still having young ladies be coming to the cheerleading program. And once that implement, we had a very sound program of young men coming in instead of selling drugs and doing illegal things on the street corner. They came and being part of the program. And the same thing with the young ladies of going out there and not doing the right thing and turning around and being pregnant at a young age. They was part of the cheerleading program. And once we implement that,
So then you were able then in 2009 to actually bring that to the National Guard program, which is a high school player development. I think that concentrated on character there and life skills. So having had that experience, what was the impact of you being a part of that?
Well, the impact of that the NFL was HSPD, that was the high school player development, was sponsored by the NFL. And they called, after that, it was 7-on-7 tournament. But it was like a week session of teaching them life skills, showing good sportsmanship, character, and understanding the game and how to stay in school, keep your grades up, not just on the field but off the field. Listen to your parents. Do the right thing what your parents are saying. Do your homework at home. Clean around the house. Throw out the garbage. Clean your room. Do your housely chores. So we all that was just implemented in that HSPD and make them understand that we have to build up that life skill. We're teaching them life skills, the do's and the don'ts, and how to prepare themselves in high school, going on to college, the different levels of the preparation. And after that week, then everybody of the schools got together and they played a 7-on-7 tournament and to see their speed and their talent and skills. And it worked out very well on a nice, hot, sunny day. And that was a big thing with the HSPD through the NFL program.
Now, through all of these various different programs that you're involved in, I'm sure once you get to the 2009 football combine for high school students, that's probably where the rubber hits the road, because that's where I think a lot of people look to see who is actually going to go on to the next level. So when a kid gets there, obviously we're looking at them having made quite a bit of achievement, probably on, you know, the lower level, and now they're in high school and they're starting to really make their mark. Tell us a little bit about that Nike football combine. What is that like? In other words, what's the fallout if you don't do well there? Because I know that this is something that is facilitated by Nike and is assisted by Under Armour as well. So what is the fallout if you don't come ready? Because you obviously got to be ready for that one.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, once you get to that level and once you start participating, the Nike as well as the Under Armour, they looking for that talent. They're looking for that key talent. They want to see the performance on the field. So what when we go through, we want to see they speed. We want to see they combine at the 40, the 20-yard shuttle, the L drill, the jump and reach, the broad jump. Now this is serious because everything that they do is recorded and go on to several hundred colleges throughout the country. And when you talk about Under Armour and Combine going on to all these various colleges, these colleges want to know, okay, let me see the rating. I want to see their scores. I want to see how high they do. And once you do that, then you get some type of recognition, because not everyone may not make the ESPN 150 or the Rival.com or the Scout.com. Some might be on the radar, some may not be on the radar. So this is an opportunity for that young athlete, may coming from a school that is not recognized, and then he'll have the opportunity to shine and do well in that combine. And then when the scores go in, they say, wow, where this kid is from, what school he goes to. I mean, we don't know about this school, but he really made an impact and did very well on the Nike combine as well as the Under Armour. So
right.
Those are the recognition.
Now, aren't you compared throughout the whole Nike system? Because
yes.
Look at what happened in Florida. They'll look what happened in California as well. Is that part of that?
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, you have the combines on both companies, Nike as well as Under Armour, all over the country. So now you're all recognized. You're getting the exposure. You're getting the notoriety of what you have done. So there are some athletes, they may go to California to the combine and might come right back to Texas or Florida to see if they can get a better time, because each combine, some might do it on grass and some might be on natural turf or artificial turf, I should say. So you may get a better time. It depends on the weather condition. Like the Nike combine that I worked in Orlando and Disney this past year, it was raining real hard. So a lot of these athletes may not have the opportunity to get good timing, but they had another combine in Miami, and a lot of those athletes did well. Same thing with Under Armour. So these athletes, they go to various states to see if they can get a better time, because some might be on a faster track with a turf, and some think they may get a better time on the grass. So there's different variations, and this is well recorded, and these are going on to all these colleges throughout the country.
And I would assume a lot of college scouts are there watching this, just like your typical senior bowls, and that they watch the actual college players. There's probably college scouts out there watching this. Now, I just got an email from a mother. She says she has an 8-year-old son. He's playing baseball and doing very, very well. He also was playing golf, tennis, and he's involved in fencing. But he's interested, just showed an interest that he wants to get into football. So at 8 years old, walk me through the scenario where what the next step would be from 8 years old all the way to college. What would be the steps that that child would need to do?
Okay, on an 8-year-old, he's still young, he's a baby. He just want to get the understanding of just getting the football and running around. So it takes
to get into Pop Warner, is that the first step?
Yeah, you get into a youth organization. You at an 8-year-old, you might be in the Pee Wee squad. It could be a Pop Warner or any other youth organization in the community area. You go to the president or the football coordinator or the commissioner and speak to them that my son would like to be a part of the youth football program. What I need to do, they'll ask them to pay your registration fee. The first practice, come on and come to the first day of practice, and what they do, they start conditioning these young kids. When they're conditioning, it's conditioning stretching, getting their cardiovascular up to par, understand how to stretch, how to run, how to form their arms, how to catch. So it's basically basic fundamentals. And from that point on, that young man will just move gradually into different levels of a youth football until he get ready to go into high school. So
the very next step was throughout Pop Warner, that goes up to what grade in terms of or age does Pop Warner go up to?
Well, any youth organization, you start at 8, go up to maybe 14 or 14-year-old. It may be 15. It varies. It depends on what grade he got in at 15, but some organization go up to 14. Now, if that youth organization may have a senior division and might have a 15-year-old, but he's not playing high school football, they may allow him to play. But up to 8th grade, that is the youth football organization. After that, most of those kids go into freshman high school ball.
Okay, very good. Well, folks, we're going into another break here, and we'll be back to the conclusion of our show, and we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming Gridiron competition that's going to be in Daytona in August. We'll be back in 3 to talk a little bit about that. Item Oye, your host. We'll be back in 3.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, The Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new 5-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
We some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice
Voice America Sports Network.
Tune into the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
School to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Well, folks, this is Ida Moyer again, and you know, I'm getting all these emails, so feel free to call into the show. But let me, I've got Coach Knight here, and he's done such a great job in outlining to us the whole scenario for someone playing football from Pop Warner all the way up. My next question to you, Coach Knight, is this. I have one mother that says that her son is entering into high school. He was too big to play in junior high school or in earlier age in Pop Warner. They wouldn't accept him, but he wants to play football. What would be the first thing for him to do to get ready for high school?
The first thing that mother should do is speak to the head coach or speak to a coach, mainly the head coach, and let him know that my son didn't have the opportunity to play youth football, but he's hungry and eager to learn to play the game now in high school. So that coach should understand where and how to place him and what he has to do, because basically any coach needs to teach a young man the basic football, the basic fundamental of football, because you don't want to change that kid mind or chase him away. So basically, you let him know that, son, you come on out once you get your physical and everything is good and you're good in good health, because we got to make sure that he is in good health and the doctor clears him. Now come on down to practice. We see what we got, see what we have to work on. We're going to take it gradually. We're going to teach you the basic. We're going to see what position we're going to place you in. And we take it from there. If you're going to be a lineman, you're going to be a tight end or a defensive end or linebackers, and then that head coach will place him in that other position coach's hands and say, well, here's a new player for you. And he's new. He never played the game, but he's eager to learn. And me as a coach, I would love that, because he's hungry. He want to learn the game. He never had the chance. So he'd be a well-disciplined and well-rounded athlete that has a great character, and he want to take it to the next level.
Okay, my next question is, I have a mother here that says that her son actually was a quarterback, but they changed his position to being a center, and he wants to know why did they do that.
He went from a quarterback to a center?
Mm-hmm.
That's really mind-boggling, because I never, if a coach changed a quarterback, man, he might go as a receiver or a tight end, because that pretty ties hand in hand. But I never heard of a quarterback going to the center. I mean, is it because he can't throw the ball? He's not reading the defense? He's not completing his pass? It might be a whole lot of scenario there, but I would not put a quarterback into a center position. It depends how what his size and what type of kid he is. So that is kind of mind-boggling. I mean, I will ask that coach, and just for my curiosity's sake, why he was removed from being a quarterback to a center, and that coach should need to explain to that parent or that mother the reason why. And then you got, as that parent, have to understand why that transaction was made.
Okay, well, you're hearing that, Gladys. I hope he answered your question. I have another question here. Vivian wants to know that her son wants to improve his speed. And he is now a tight end, and he wants to actually, you know, increase his speed because he would like to be a wide receiver. And how can he do that?
Is he in high school, or this is youth football player?
He's in high school.
Well, she needs to find out in the community or on the internet where they have speed agility training camps. And those speed agility training camps will teach that athlete how to get faster and quicker. Because someone could be quick, and then someone could be fast. So when you go to these speed agility camps, then they will teach them both how to be quick as well as fast. They footwork, and it's very tight-niche and how to run, how to catch. But when it comes down to that, she has to find a speed and agility camp. Now, if she wants to contact me, I mean, I can give her my email, and maybe I can work on that for her and then work on that camp. But that would be the best thing for that young man, especially he's in high school. It has to be a speed agility camp.
Yeah, Coach, why don't you go ahead and give out your email so people want to contact you that's calling in, they can call and send those questions directly to you. Go ahead and give your email out, Coach.
Yeah, my email is Coach Knight, that's with a K, Coach Knight 44 at hotmail.com. So that's Coach Knight, one word, that's with a K, 44 at hotmail.com.
Great. Okay, Coach. Now let's get into the Gridiron Challenge Foundation that has announced the four-game series, which is going to feature the interstate matchup set to kick off high school football season at the Daytona Municipal Stadium on Friday, August 27th and Saturday, August 28th. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, I had partnered up with the Gridiron Challenge Foundation, and we are hosting a Gridiron Football Kickoff High School Classic August 27th and the 28th at the Daytona Municipal Stadium in Daytona, Florida. We have several strong schools coming from Mississippi, Georgia, playing against Florida. And we have a school that's playing in Mississippi as a 5A championship. And we have West Point. And West Point is coming off a 14-1 season and returning running back Lakeendra Thomas to a key strong running game. So he's a big threat on the West Point team. And then Mainland ended with a 2009, campaign, 9-3, losing to the second round of Florida playoff. So we have these strong teams coming in. Then we have Glade from Florida. Then we have Glade Central. Then we have Texas Skylines. Then we have Belgrade, again, from Florida, that's coming in. So this is a big kickoff classic for us, and we want to do this every single year. And this will be our first year that's going to be played, and we want to make it very successful and really big and for this inaugural season. So this is what we're working on right now.
Now, question is this, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, what about Louisiana?
Well, we're going to be working on Louisiana for the 0-11. Right now, we're working on 0-11. We want to hit Louisiana, and we're going to go up to the mid and go up to the coastline. We just didn't get the schools from Louisiana, so right now, we're not just going to do these schools here. He's working on Bill Fleming. He's the founder of the Gridiron Challenge Foundation, and we're working together on this, and he's working on right now to get some schools for Louisiana as well as we speak. So we're looking at some big schools and out of these other states to really make a big impact when it comes to kickoff classic high school football players, and as well as getting recognized, because there are a lot of colleges, our college coaches have the opportunity to come and see these players on that particular two-day event.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, folks, you heard it here. Gridiron Challenge Foundation is sponsoring four-game series, August 27th and August 28th. Mississippi, Georgia, and Florida. Come out and see your favorite high school team. All right, folks, this is a wrap, and I want to thank Coach Knight, and thank you so much for being with us, Coach Knight. And don't
thank
be a stranger.
Much.
As we get closer to the Classic, we'd like to invite you back to talk more about it. And, folks, they're looking for sponsors, so get in touch with Coach Knight at CoachKnight44@Hotmail.com. Good night.
Words and you know, talk is cheap. Talking only gets you.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyet and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.